ever since Richard Hubbock said that he really didn't like the term mental health, and he may have put it a little stronger than that, he may have said, I can't stand the term, I've been brooding about it. Yeah, Richard made a mini podcast about his own mental health not very long ago, or about his health not very long ago, and he took a very strong stance, albeit in a short part of a wonderful monologue about himself. I have been bothered. Now, it isn't the first time I've been bothered about this. I have been bothered about the language used in the area, in this area, for as far back as I can remember. The first word that really rubbed me up the wrong way was a disorder. Yeah, I'm bipolar. So when I look up bipolar on the internet and I look it up in all sorts of things, I get bipolar disorder. And I would never call myself disordered, and I wouldn't ever call anybody else disordered. So consequently, the word disorder isn't of any use to me at all. And it just gets in the way of me focusing on the substance of stuff. So, but Richard revitalized the issue for me. And I know that my favorite term is not mental health. It's emotional health. I have physical health and I have emotional health. And that prism, if you like, that terminology or that frame of reference is what I use, and it helps me to negotiate the different meanings that I need to distinguish and the different experiences that I need to distinguish in order to feel that I have a grasp on what I'm saying and I'm able to communicate to other people in language that I like. And, you know, that's fine. I am very relaxed about, you know, what other people call it. So other people can call issues to do with depression, anxiety, and all related matters. They can call it mental health. And there can be Mental Health Week, and there can be mental health books and whatever you like, and it doesn't bother me. I contrast my physical health with my emotional health, probably because I experience depression and anxiety as more than mental unwellness. Mental, in my mind, is associated with ideas. And I wouldn't want to say or imply that ideas don't have a role in relation to depression and anxiety, but I feel emotions are a useful concept to have, and to call myself and call other people emotional creatures is better than calling them mental creatures, or more useful. This whole issue isn't terribly important in comparison with an aspect of it that I, or for me again, not very important for me, in comparison with an aspect I want to highlight now, which is that I think humans spend an inordinate amount of time arguing, discussing, disputing, the meaning of words. And preferences. Word preferences. So, for example, one person says, and this is often the case, being kind is the most important quality that a person can have or develop. And another person says, being ambitious is the most important quality another person can have and develop. So, usually, or generally, or mainly, I've noticed people having, you know, vivid discussions about this and arguments about it and spending time about which is right and which is wrong, which is, in my opinion, a complete and utter either waste of time or an inefficient use of time. Because what is really interesting between them is a completely different matter. It is what experience has led person A to say that kindness is the most important quality, and what experience has person B had which has led them to say that ambition is the most important quality. That is the substance of the matter, as far as I'm concerned. That is the really at the nub of why it's worthwhile to talk about the matter at all. Because otherwise, what the people are doing is talking about their respective frames of reference. In other words, one person is in effect saying, I find it very helpful, or most helpful, to see the world in terms of kindness being the most valuable asset. And the other person saying, my frame of reference elevates ambition. But the question is why? Why? Not whether kindness is better than ambition or ambition is better than kindness. So, to come back to Richard's point, I was very interested and still am curious to know why did Richard say that that he doesn't like the term mental health. What has happened in his life? And by the way, this is not me exercising pressure on Richard to explain himself or justify himself. This is me expressing my curiosity on the topic that Richard brought into my consciousness. What is it? What has happened in Richard's life to make mental health as a term unpalatable? And which term, and I might have been able to decipher this from the other things that he said, but which term does he like best and why? And that, to me, is an example. This, to me, is an example of a huge aspect of social discourse. In other words, conversations between people. And I bet if you think about conversations you've had, let's say in the last few days, that have involved you in any form of disputation or asserting your view over somebody else's view, I bet you in a lot of cases you will find that it is your terminology that matters. I mean, one of the most powerful differences between people over the, I don't know, let's say the last 10 centuries is the statement, you know, I believe in God. And somebody else's statement says, you know, I don't believe in God. Fair enough. One person believes in God and the other person doesn't believe in God. One person believes that everybody else should believe in God. And another person believes that people shouldn't believe in God. So what? The real issue is, why do you believe in God? What has happened in your life? That is of immense interest. Well, to me at least. And the issue about, why do you not believe in a God? Or why do you not believe in a God? And what has happened in the world to influence you to not believe in a God? And some people I know will say, that's begging the question. Why should I have to explain why I don't believe in a God? And then you get people arguing all the way around the topic. But my point is about the argument about terminology and arguments, which are really about meaning and what constitutes a meaningful statement in the eyes of the speaker. So there we are. Richard, I want to thank you. You gave me an opportunity to clarify, maybe for once and for all, that emotional health. I went through a phase in the last couple of weeks, let's say, in which I ditched mental health and I ditched emotional health, and I just decided it was health. And you know, parts of my health are about my leg, and parts of my health are about other parts of my body. And I didn't really find that to be as satisfying or as useful a frame of reference as emotional health. I would be very interested in what, I am very interested in what other people have to say and what frame of reference other people find helpful. Thanks very much. This is the 11th, I think, of June, and it's, I guess it's my day 11, contribution to Audio Mo. Thank you very much for listening. Bye for now.